It appears from my understanding that we have a phrase in English, it doesn't matter what you do, it's how you do it that counts. So what that means is it's not the actions that you're performing, but it's the attitude, the mentality and the heart behind the actions. Like one man, you can hire one man to serve food, and your wife can serve the food. The hired man will just do the job because he's paid, but he'll just throw the food maybe on your plate. But the wife will very lovingly place the food and very careful not and place it in the proper place and time and be more attentive, because although they're doing the same activity, the backing of the activity is love and desire, a genuine desire to please the beloved. So there are numerous accounts throughout the history of Vaishnavism in general, and also Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where a Saivite or a Shishya or a disciple didn't do any type of chanting, didn't do any type of reading, but he received the full mercy of the spiritual master. And there's a very famous account of a disciple of Ramanujacharya. But it's just one of many accounts illustrating a point. He was always busy washing clothes in the river. And every afternoon, Ramanuja would meet with his disciples and give very elaborate classes of Sanskrit and history, itihas and vyakaran. And this disciple was never there, and he never heard Guru Vakya. He never heard the teachings. He was just absorbed in seva. And there were hundreds of students, very brilliant students, very learned, precocious, well cultured students, hearing and studying from Ramanuja, his shishya. But this was his servant. He was doing humble service. He wasn't such a vidvan. He wasn't a big scholar. So one day, Ramanuja wanted to illustrate this point. So he said he came, he was late coming for his lecture, and the disciple said, Guruji, everyone is assembled. There are 300 or 400 shishya waiting for you to come. And now we're it's time for your lecture. He said, no, today I don't want to come unless, let's say, Krishna Ramdas is there. I want him to hear. And then the disciple said, well, Guruji, Ramdas is always here and there in the forest collecting wood for your yajna or your fires, or he's washing your cloth. I don't know really where he is. And he really doesn't understand. You're so much involved with these lessons. How will he understand anything? So all the other students are there. So please come. So I won't come unless you find Ramdas, if he comes. So they went all over the place and looking. Ramdas was in some river somewhere, washing Gurudev's clothes. And they said, Ramdas, Gurudev wants you to come and hear the Harikata. Then Ramdas said, oh, me, I don't understand. It's way over my head. I can't understand all the Sanskrit and all this grammar and all these very involved discussions. No, Guruji, he won't even speak. He's not speaking to you unless you come and sit in the assembly. So then Ramdas said, okay, Guruji's order is there, then I have to go. So then he came. And they went back and said, Guruji, Ramanujaji, Ramdas is there in the assembly. Okay, so then Ramanuja came, and then Ramdas was sitting in the front row, and then he called. He said, Ramdas, please come here up on the stage, or dais. I said, now today I want you to give the class. Mm-hmm. And he said, Guruji, I don't know what you're talking about. Or no, it's my order, you speak today. So then he starts, Om and Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Litamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langa iti agriyam yakripadam aham vade shri gurum dhinataranam paramanandavanam madhavam tavevasmi tavevasmi najivami tvayavina iti vigaya radhetvam nayamam charnantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Bhavanibhya Vaishnavibhyo Namonama. So then Ramdas started speaking a fantastic, wonderful, brilliant illumination, exactly a continuation of the previous day's lessons. all ornamented and decorated with so many Sanskrit phrases, and all the 300 pundits and scholars and big pundit disciples in the audience were amazed. I mean, their jaws were hanging open. Oh, what's this? How, this is the washerman? This is Ramanuja's dobi? And this is his servant, who's a flunky, doesn't know anything? And so then Ramanuja spoke and he said, you can see how much mercy the humble servant of the spiritual master can derive. Because all of you have some pride. All of you sitting in this audience, you have pride. You think I'm so-and-so Chaturvedi, I'm so-and-so Pandit. And because of that pride, the flow of Guru mercy is not flowing very much in your heart. So, thinking of this story and applying it to what you're saying is that it's not that you serve Guru Dev all day, carrying out the Vapu Seva, or the fixing the computer, or cooking the meals, or washing the clothes, or massaging his back, or running around buying notebooks and carrying messages and doing Xeroxing or whatever they do, answering email. But the backing, the attitude, what is the attitude? Because if the attitude is pride, or the attitude is, I am doing him a favor. Because many times this is the attitude. Or the attitude is, Guruji needs me. I'm indispensable. Guruji depends on me. And there's a very beautiful story about Bhakti Siddhanta about that also. And so all these stories are there to show the point that it's very important, not what you do, but what's the intention behind it. What's your attitude? And that will determine how much you get the mercy of Guru, how much you actually please Krishna and Guru to receive that prasad, that Krishna prasad, that Guru prasad, which translates into ruchi. You may read nothing and just chant your 16 rounds here and there, but if you're serving with pure heart and a pure desire and attitude simply to be an instrument of Guru's will, sold out, surrendered, submissive, and have no other desire but to please the Guru, and really no motivation, no ego, no... Then what happens is that you become the greatest of sadshishyas. Krishna becomes so pleased with that pure attitude, with that pure mentality, with that pure motivation, that as this verse is saying, the fool can recite eloquent poetry, the blind man can see the star, the blind disciple can see the stars in the sky, and the lame, crippled disciple can cross over mountains. Mukam karoti vachalam. This is what this verse means. The deaf and dumb disciple can recite kavitam, beautiful poetry. Mukam kavitam vachalam. So kavita means kavi, means poetry. Pangam langayate giri, garim. He will cross over giri. Giri means mountain. The pangu means lame. Jayatam surato pangur. He will become victorious. And the blind man will see the Taragan, the group of stars, nakshatras. So, and also we see that this principle works not only with Guru, but also with Krishna, with our approach to Krishna. If we think we're doing Krishna a favor, or Krishna needs my seva, this is all dumbha. This is asura sampat, dumbha. Dumbha means pride. Pride precedes a fall. It does not, you can serve Guru like left, right, and center for 1 year and then bloop. Then bloop and go into the deepest maya and become a dope pusher or something. Because of the pride. I'm the Guru's servant. I'm so-and-so Maharaj's servant. And this pride or thinking. Even as I said, it also applies to Krishna. Krishna is saying in the 10th canto, Bhavagrahi Janardhan, that it says that Krishna, Janardhan, Krishna, Bhavagrahi, he accepts the essence of one's bhav. It doesn't really matter what you do, it's your bhav, the backing. The bhav means the feeling, the attitude, the love, the motivation. So I've seen in history of Prabhupada, some of his servants, they went down. But some of his servants, they went up, and they really were blessed because their attitude was so proper. Like Hari Sauri, for example. He was You know, he really got a lot of blessings of Prabhupada, and even today he's living on those blessings. He received so many blessings because he served Prabhupada with such a proper attitude and such a proper mentality and such a pure-hearted bhav that Prabhupada was so pleased, and he served Prabhupada longer than anyone. So he did it right, and he was blessed. Even today he's so much fixed up in Krishna consciousness because of that service he rendered to Prabhupada as his servant in 1975 and 1976. So there are examples, positive examples of someone getting ruchi, actually getting ruchi from Mahatsevan. That's what this verse when I started to quote. This is 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. Mahatsevam dwaram ahor vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam mahantaste samachita prashanta himanyava surita sadavaye. Mahatsevam, mahants or spiritually advanced persons, one can attain the path of liberation, vimukti. Vimukti means vishesh mukti, a very special, very extraordinary, exalted type of mukti. Not just this cheap sayuja mukti, but mukti to Vaikuntha, eternal blissful life of knowledge in Vaikuntha. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities, the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, yoshitam sangi sangam, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. It's called the tamodwaram. Tamodwaram, dwara means the gate, door to hell. So there's you can have mahatsevam, mahatsanga, sadhusanga and sadhuseva, or you can have yoshitam, associated with yoshita. Yoshita means women, or yoshitam sangi, sangam, or those who associate with women. The mahatmas, what is the quality of a mahatma? Samachitta prashanta. He's extremely prakrishtarena shanti. Prakrishtarena means an excessive degree of peacefulness, means self-control and tolerance in all circumstances. He's prashant. And samachitta, he has a balanced heart. His heart is balanced. His mind is balanced. The mahatmas are equipoised, and they see everyone equally as spiritual beings. They are very peaceful, completely devoid of anger or any material contamination, and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are well-wishers of everyone. Such saintly persons are known as pure devotees. Vimanyavo surida sadhavo ye. So the sadhava, the pure saintly persons. So, you know, you give these examples. There are so many examples like that. There's more examples like that. That the very hard-working servants of the acharya or guru, they go down from Prabhupada and on down, because they don't check their attitude. They don't they're approaching it in the wrong way, because that's what the Chanakya Pandit. I mean, they say that it's like gambling. If you gamble and the stakes are very high, you can win a lot or lose a lot. Maybe lose everything, like the Pandavas lost everything in a gambling match. So serving Guru, Bapu Seva, Jiva Goswami says in Sandarbhas, that this is the most powerful way to make advancement, by serving directly the Guru. If one doesn't have the fortune or opportunity to serve directly Bapu Seva, then he has no other recourse but to do Vani Seva, serve the instruction, order of the Guru. And that also gives benefit as per your surrender. But of the two, Bapu Seva is preferred and recommended. And he even says, especially for beginners, he says the neophytes, they should try as much as possible to render Bapu Seva, because that will solidify the relationship with Guru and deepen their faith and increase their faith very quickly if it's done properly. But the thing is, you know, we're envious beings. We're very envious. We're born with so much envy. Ichitvesha smutena dvanda mohina bharata. We have this envy. So even we're serving, but we're serving Guru and we're doing so many things, but actually we're feeling so much envy. Oh, why is he getting? all this thing, why he has all this facility, why he's like this, why this. And so much, we're generating and broadcasting and radiating so much envy, and we're not checking it, and we're just keeping it under the lid. We're keeping it in the pressure cooker of our mind and letting off a little steam. Psh, 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 psh. But every day we're serving, and every day we're feeling envious of the Guru. So Krishna doesn't appreciate it. We should kick out this envy, transfer envy into love, envy into service. So that's why Vapuseva is very, very dangerous and very, very dangerous and very beneficial. Dangerous means you can make mad elephant offense, matahati, and then you can go down and trample down your bhakti. Or it's very beneficial because you can get tremendous guru kripa and tremendous blessings and go very far, very high, like this disciple of Ramanuja. He became recognized as the top disciple. One day he's washing the clothes, next day he was the top pundit, recognized by everyone and honored by everyone as the most advanced learned disciple. And he got to that position by doing humble, pure-hearted, unmotivated, humble service of the Guru. So, generally, the Guru is very selective about who he keeps close to himself. I know in Gaudiya Math, I mean, there's sometimes the servant of the Guru, if he's with the Guru for years, 20 years, 30 years, and then you see how much he gets. I mean, he becomes like a clone. He becomes like a clone of the Guru. He knows all the verses. He knows all the philosophy, and so illustrious. And then when the Guru leaves, oftentimes that servant becomes the next acharya, or at least he becomes a wonderful itinerant preacher and a very advanced pure devotee of the Lord by that mercy he got by the proper service attitude. So there are examples on both sides of those that go down by serving the Guru of Vapuseva and those that go all the way up. So it's a great opportunity to kill yourself or save yourself.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's why most gurus, most sadhus, the other thing is that sometimes, I mean, you incited one particular person, but most saintly people, knowing the nature of the shishya, especially in Kali Yuga, they try to keep some distance from the shishya, to protect the shishya. They try not to let the shishya get too close, and they'd rather do more services themselves or reduce the opportunities for Vapuseva to save the disciples. In that rare case where they find some pure-hearted disciple that can actually hold the voltage, you know, it's high energy. If you have a high voltage current coming through and you put a small wire, that wire will burn. Yeah. Even the casing will melt off. So if someone has low voltage and they get an association with their guru, they'll burn. Their envy will burn them out, their own envy. So therefore the gurus, generally they don't keep anyone very close to them, or they don't keep a servant for very long, one day, 2 days, or they pick one up when they go here and there. And they travel alone somewhere, and anyone they pick up serves them for a day. But to travel, like Prabhupada is traveling all around the world, everywhere, 24 hours a day with the same people. And so many of them burned out. They burned themselves out because of their own envy. Prabhupada didn't burn them out. They say like that, oh, Prabhupada burned me out. No, they burned themselves out because of their wrong attitude and their own envy and their own pride and so many other things. But I see that myself. That's why I many times people say, well, I'd like to come and stay with you, I can serve you. I say, do what? And so I shun away from that because I don't really require so much, I'd rather preserve, because oftentimes in the name of their own comfort or convenience, the guru destroys the disciple because he makes irreparable damage to himself, the disciple, by getting too close. Even Chanaka Pandit, of course, he's not our Mahajanacharya, but he was a good moralist. Prabhupada said he was a good moralist. Yes, is niti. Niti shastra means shastra about niti. Niti means behavior, rules and regulations. Well, he has some good ideas about behavior, but it doesn't mean he's our Acharya Mahajan. We don't accept verbatim everything he said. But he said there's three things you shouldn't get too close to and shouldn't get too far from. One is guru, one is fire, and one is the king. Don't get too close to the fire or you'll burn up. And don't get too far away or you can't cook your khichdi if it's too far from the fire. And the king, you get too close, you make a joke. Ah, you joke. You know, your king, you think your wife is not chaste. Huh? My wife's not chaste. Dong! Cuts your head off. So don't get too familiar with the king. And don't get too far away because you're out in the jungle and there's no king to protect you. And the tiger comes and you say, king, help, help. And the king's 50 miles away and the tiger eats you. So you have to stay within the realm of the king's protection. So don't get too far. And the guru, don't get too close or you become familiar. Familiarity breeds contempt. One becomes contemptuous, which means hateful. Contempt is hate. Envy, hate. Don't get too close or you become envious. I mean, not become envious, but your envy will increase and express itself. And when your envy expresses itself, then you go down. So don't get too close and don't get too far, because then you forget. You forget Guru's instructions, or you forget, oh, Guru's not here, he's somewhere else. His feet are not above my head. I'm independent, I can do whatever I want. He's not watching, he can't see me, he doesn't know my heart, he doesn't know what's going on. So then you get too far and you get in this kind of distant type of thinking or consciousness or mentality. Then you lose connection with Guru and then you go down. You become in Maya. So I think in the choice of Guru, one has to find someone that's Tasmat Gurum Jignashu Shab Brahmanishtam. Have to find someone that's fixed in Brahman, steady, fixed in Krishna consciousness, knowledgeable and learned of the Shastras, and can remove your doubts. That's the main thing. You present all your doubts to the Guru, all your questions about metaphysical reality. And present all your questions and remove all your doubts one by one. And get conviction and faith, strengthen your faith and conviction in God and Guru himself. Observe his behavior and then decide if you can invest your trust and love in this person, that this person can actually help me advance in spiritual life. And I'm prepared to die for this person. I'm prepared to die for this person. I'm prepared to do anything to please this person because I want what he has. He has Krishna bhakti. He has relationship with Krishna. I'm convinced of that. And he has something that I require, that I need. And he'll give it to me. He has it and he can give it to me. I believe he can give me what he has if I submit to him, surrender unto him, and serve him and try to please him with whatever I have in my command. That I will attain spiritual perfection in this way. He is the emissary of truth. He is the ambassador of prema. He is Krishna's representative. He is Sakshat Hari for me. He is a Mahabhagavat. He is my Uttamadhikari. I once asked Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshat, Sridhar Dev Goswami. Guruji, if you think or you know that your guru, if you feel that a disciple thinks that his guru is really not very advanced. He said like this. And then, but what should he think? How should he see his guru? Should he see that, oh, my guru is a madhyam, but it's a lot better than me, so I can't but gain by serving him and surrendering to him. And as I go forward, then Krishna will arrange for a more higher association or more advanced shiksha for me or whatever. Or what should the viewpoint, what should the disciple think? And then Sridhar Swami Maharaj, he said, this is in Sri Guru and His Grace, one book, his lecture. He said, he should see, all the disciples should see, my guru is Uttamadhikari. Uttamadhikari. He has the topmost development of faith. That his faith is pure in Krishna and Shastra and Guru. And I see him like that. It's not, he said, he can't progress unless he sees like that. If he sees, well, my guru is like a second string guru. He's third string. He's third class guru, but he's not first class. He says, because according to the surrender, the vision of the disciple, as he sees his guru, with the highest, you should see his guru with the highest regard, with the highest view, with the highest respect and regard, then Krishna himself will make up the difference. That the guru may be middle class guru, madhyam guru, but if we have that type of pure faith and that type of surrender, then Krishna, he will act through that guru. Krishna will himself act as the uttam guru, the chaitya guru, and he will fill in the deficiencies, or he will provide the answers, or give the encouragement, or increase the faith in the shishya who sees the guru with that type of vision. So we shouldn't have this dual standard vision. Well, my guru is like second class, but your guru is first class. They have a phrase, my guru may be wrong, my guru may be wrong, he may be right, he's always right. He may be right, my guru may be wrong, maybe right, oh, he's always right. But it's, yes, my guru, he's okay, you know, he's okay, but he's not very advanced, and I don't think I can really go very far with him, and maybe I'll find some other guru. it's really an offensive conception, an offensive viewpoint. Because we receive guru according to our own adhikar, our own qualification, and Krishna manifests as guru tattva and guru rup, the sarup of the guru and the rupam, the guru rup and guru sarup, instructing in spiritual master and initiating spiritual master. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says we should see all gurus, diksha, shiksha gurus as equal manifestations of the Absolute Truth. So as much as we can perceive and digest the Absolute Truth, that's how much the guru will manifest, and guru principle will manifest before us.